Baptist Church Sanctuary. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We thank you, Father God, now for just another time to stand behind this holy roster to bring the word to your people. We thank you for all things great and all things small. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we just want to say thank you. We ask, oh Father God, you enter into this session and allow your Holy Spirit to exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Father God, let your word go forth plain. Let it be simple enough so that our child may be able to understand it. Father God, you said your word would not go out and return to you voided until it accomplishes that which you have sent it out to do. So Father God, right now, as we continue to be faithful in serving you and learning about you, and this trying and perplexing time, oh God, we ask right now, in the name of Jesus, you be with your people. Let someone be blessed by this word, and whatever is accomplished in this setting, oh Heavenly Father, we'll be kept to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. The Gospel according to St. Mark. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning at the 26th verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning at the 26th verse. And when you get there, you'll find these words. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended of you, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, likewise, also said thee. Now, very quickly to the 66th verse of Mark chapter 14. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when he had saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to him that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crowed. And Peter called to the mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crowed twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he had thought thereon, he wept. I'd like you to put a tag on this subject, on this text, to preach and teach it to your hearing today. My big mistake. My big mistake. Music. I want to start this sermonic presentation by saying something very familiar and well known to all of you. But I feel that I can say it without any fear of contradiction. And that is simply a reminder. God can change anybody. Regardless of who you've been and how long you have been struggling with an issue of your life, saints, the reality is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing about your life that cannot be changed to align itself with the will of God. Are y'all with me? Amen. No matter how deep the habit, no matter how long term you have been doing what you've been doing, I want you to know that change is possible. Change is not easy, Let's not get it twisted. Let's not make it simple. It is not easy to make a subsistent, significant, and sincere change in your life. When you have been doing something a long time, it's hard to let that go. So looking at some of those challenges to change, what to do when you are what do you do? What do you do when you are surrounded by people who don't believe in your capacity to change? How do you stay committed to a change when you realize there's a danger? Jesus says, in going back to something the Lord has pulled you out of, how you must believe in the possibility of change. Because you have been freed by the blood of Jesus from the penalty, the power, and one day even the presence of sin. My prayer is that through this sermonic message and this presentation, that the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and mind about some changes you need to make in your life. Yes, believe it or not, there are some things about you that are displeasing to God. I know that may be a new shocker to you. You thought that everything was fine and dandy in your life, but all of us have some areas. All of us have some areas in our lives, some issues, some character flaws that need to be worked on by the power of God. If you know that you need to make a change in some area of your life, just speak to yourself and say, that's right. You know that there are some things about me that God wants me to change. My prayer is that you will be committed to making the changes. But if I know human nature as I do, I would suggest to you, no matter what kind of commitment you make to change, the reality is some point along the road, you are going to stumble. At some point, you are going to fail to do what you committed to do. I don't mean to be prophetic. I'm not a prophet. I don't mean to prophesy doom. I don't mean to say that you can't do it. But human nature is this. Every time I desire to do good, evil is always present. At some point, you're going to make a mistake in your journey to trying to draw closer to Jesus the Christ. Somebody should just say amen in your living room or wherever you are. Because you know that it is a reality of life. That we make mistakes, even when we are trying to do right. This is why I'm so glad that we got our brother Peter in Scripture, who gives us an example of what to do when you have made a significant mistake. Beloved, you all know Peter, if you have read your Bible at all, you know Peter is the valedictorian of this class of disciples. He is quite arguably the closest to Jesus. It is Peter who receives the word from God who Jesus is. When Jesus asked the question about his Christological identity, it is then Jesus who promised Peter that he will hold the keys to the kingdom of God. Peter arguably has the greatest possibility and potential of all disciples mixed together. There's nobody like Peter, y'all. He is outspoken. He's outspoken. He is a leader. He is at the top of his class. But you all know the whole story of Peter, despite his promise and possibility. Peter also makes a big mistake. For during the trial of Jesus, this Peter, this valedictorian of his class, this leader, denies that he knows Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. I will suggest to you that Peter's threefold denial of Jesus makes what Peter does to Jesus almost worse than what Judas does to Jesus. Judas betrayed him, but I'm certain if Judas had been given another chance, he would have done things differently than he had the first time. Peter denies that he knows Jesus, gets another chance and messes it up. Gets another chance and messes it up. Can y'all keep up with me?
Amen.
Now I know this is not for everybody, but there are a couple of us who are listening to me right now know that it's what it's like to stumble over the same issue time and time and time again. Now this is not for the super sanctified who you know, but there are some of us, y'all, who know that we have been in a place where we told the Lord that we would never do that again. And at the very next time it came up, here you were again. And you promised God, I will not do it again. And the next time it came up, you did it again. You know what it's like to stumble over something time and time and time again? And the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, this Peter who has stumbled time and time again made the mistake over and over and over again. When he realizes what he has done, he weeps bitterly. Because when you struggle with something time and time again, and you know what it is like to fail and making a change. You know what it's like to be committed and yet still make a mistake time and time again. You will find that when you get in that place, the enemy will try to convince you that you can't change by working on you and two real things. Can I have a witness in here? Amen. Listen to this, y'all. Listen to it now. When we realize, and we do, and Satan wants to get to you, this is what he do. I just want to teach this to you, that when you have stumbled time and time again, there are two things the devil uses to try to keep you from moving forward. The first is a guilty conscience. How many people here know that conscience can't wear you out? A guilty conscience will wake you up in the middle of the night. A guilty conscience will ruin a good time you are in the midst of having. A guilty conscience can mess up your worship. When you are in church trying to get right with God and the Lord, and an ex-sin walks in, you know what it's like. The amazing thing is, when Peter denies Jesus, the other disciples don't know it. They are not around to see what Peter has done. Because it is not the stuff that people know that wears you out. It's the ones you have to keep hitting. Let me give you this in Facebook form and Twitter form and phone conference form for you. Secret sins suffocate saints. I want to say it again. Secret sins suffocate saints. It is the stuff you have to keep under wraps and keep hidden and act like it never happened that will wear on your conscience. Which is why the Bible says it is good to confess every now and again. Because there is some stuff you have to get out in the open. Because the longer you try to live with the secret, the more it suffocates you. The devil tries to keep you from changing with a guilty conscience. Oh, yeah, yeah. And if the guilty conscience does not get you, here's number two. Write this down wherever you at. The fear of the conscience consequences of your sin. That's right. The fear of the consequences of your sin. Notice, Peter makes a mistake in the moment in one night that will change his life forever. You ever been there with one bad decision, one lapse in sound judgment, one angry outburst, one drink too much, changes the direction of your life forever? Now, here's Peter warning what will be the result of the mistake I have made. What will happen now that I have failed my Jesus? What's going to go down? How is God going to punish me for what I have done? While this Peter's dealing with his mistake, the Bible says some women go to the tomb, watch me y'all, to find out that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. And while they're there, an angel comes to speak to them. I would suggest to you that the angel gives them a message to give to Peter that's going to help Peter get back on his feet. Those angels come and they say something to the women that they want the women to pass to Peter. Watch, listen now, listen to Pastor. To help Peter know he can live on the other side of a mistake, a bad mistake that he has made. Even though it may change his life, even though it will alter the direction of your days, even though it may scar you for the rest of your life, the angel says some words to the women that I want you to pass to you that will help you recover when you have made a significant mistake in your life. Keep praying for me, church. The angel simply says three words, and Peter. I know that sounds so simple in verse number 7. that you can't even figure out how a sermon would come out of that. I can preach that if you allow me to. I wanted to make this a short message, so I will give it to you real quick. And Peter, they tell the women, listen, go to the disciples and Peter to meet Jesus in Galilee. Y'all want to say, and Peter.
And Peter.
Those two words give us three things we can hang out our hat on, our hope on. Whenever you make a significant stumble in life, when you have made a sure enough mistake, when you got some stuff that is threatening your future, there are three things you need to take out of that phrase, and Peter. Help me, Holy Ghost. And the very first thing I would suggest to you is this. The term "and Peter" means this. Here we go. That my calling isn't canceled when I have made a mistake. My calling isn't canceled when I've made a mistake. Watch what Angel 10 says. Tell the disciples and Peter. The problem with that is, the last time I checked, Peter was a disciple. So it would make more sense, tell the disciples, to use the term, and Peter suggests somehow or another that Peter ain't with the disciples no more. Y'all not feeling me? If I send an email saying, tell New Jerusalem, or tell such and such, deacons and Peter Drayton or whoever, it would suggest he is not a deacon, or he is not Peter any longer, a disciple, because I will not have to add his name to something that he is already a part of. So when the angel says, tell the disciples and Peter, something that happened because Peter is not running with the disciples anymore. Now, if that is the case, it went down one or two ways, because I know church folk, I know Christian folk. Maybe the disciples found out what Peter had done and decided Peter is no longer welcome to hang out with them. Oh, I'm not talking about church folk, am I? Because that is what religious folk do. Isn't it amazing how religious people can get so holy and sanctified and self-righteous when they know of your stuff? Now they feel they can judge you because they make themselves feel better relative to you. Yeah, that's what religious folk do. Let me tell you something. Righteousness is not relative. Righteousness is not relative. You can't make yourself feel better because you think somebody has done worse than you have. The church is a body of baptized believers. It is not a place for perfect saints. It is reunion for those who have fallen. It is not just for the holy and the righteous. It is for the saved and the struggling. It's not just for those who read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, but for the rest of us who know we are trying to get it right with God. But sometimes we don't get it right, and I need a place where I can be accepted, not judged for what I have done. Maybe disciples have gotten away from Peter, or even more problematic, Peter has decided to disassociate from the disciple. You know when you messed up, and you know you messed up good and not doing what you're supposed to do, not being faithful. You don't want to come to church no more, so you stay yourself at home and don't come to church. You forsake the assembling of yourselves together because you think everybody knows what you did. We don't care what you did. We didn't die for you. You feel guilty. You feel unworthy. So you start coming around. Stop worshiping and stop showing up on Sunday. Because you feel you're not worthy to worship God. Let me help you. If only people who are worthy could get in church on Sunday, your entire church pew, when you were there, the entire section of the choir stand and the pulpit would be empty. Because nobody is worthy. But we are here because the Lord said, if you're struggling, you need to be with the people of God in the house of God. If you have fallen, you need to worship God. You need to be in God's house and in the company of God's people. The angel says the reason Peter can't hook back up with the disciples is all of you are going to see Jesus. He said, tell the disciples and Peter, Jesus said, meet him in Galilee. All y'all are going to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. The qualification for belonging is not a perfect pass. but a hungry heart. Hello, I said hungry heart. What the Lord wants is not a spotless resume, but a heart that hungers to draw closer to the Lord. So in this moment, when you make a mistake, the question is not what you've done. The question is, what is your desire of your heart right now? Help me, somebody. Yesterday is gone. You can't take it back. It's gone. What do you do right now? If you tell me you are here because you want to draw closer to the Lord, are you trusting you with God and you call yourself Christian because you want to be closer to God, you're in the right mindset and the right place. If you're here because your heart is heavy over what happened, you're in the right place. If you're here because you want to worship God in spirit and in truth, and you hunger to be with God, and because God has called you to be, even though you were not that yesterday, I don't care what you were yesterday. We talking about today. Yesterday's gone, y'all.
Yes, sir.
God says that is all I need, is to know you want to do the right thing. Your heart's desire matters more than your past record. What's your heart desire right now? I know our constant, our present circumstance and situation got everybody focused on God. Everybody got a word from God. I tell you what, I don't need you to give me your word from God. All I need you to do is focus yourself on God, and I'm going to focus myself on God. While they got me on lockdown, y'all, guess what? I'm going to be focusing on God. We ought to come out of this thing a whole lot better. Number two, God is going to perform what he has promised. That's what God wants you to know while you're in the middle of your mistake. God is going to perform what he has promised. The reason you did not shout when you heard the term "and Peter" is because some of y'all don't remember. Peter's not what his mama named him. His mama named him Simon. The angel calls him Peter. Let me help you shout where you at, because y'all missed this. You have to go back to your childhood days when your mother called you the name she used to let you know what the conversation was going to be like. When your mama called you, however she called you, is what the situation used to be like. My mommy had several names for me. Depending on the name, let me know what was going on, what's going to go down. Now, she said Rooney, short for Jerome, I know she was going to be loving on me. But if she said, Warren's wrong clock, that let me know how the conversation was going to go down. When the angel speaks and tells Peter, does not call him Simon, calls him Peter, what the name Jesus gave him. Help me, somebody. The reason that is important is you need to recognize when he is called Simon and when he's called Peter. When Jesus predicts in Luke chapter 22 that he would deny him, he calls him Simon. When he pulls out his sword and cuts off Malchus' ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, his name was Simon. He said, Simon, don't do that. When he fell asleep in the garden, when Jesus needed him to pray, Jesus called him Simon. But when he had divine revelation of who Jesus was, the Lord does not call him Simon. The Lord looks at him and calls him Peter. Y'all ain't feeling me. Peter is the name of possibility. Peter is the name of future potential. Peter is the name that says good things are on the way. When the angel calls him Peter, he wants to know, when God looks at you, God does not define you based on your mistakes. Hello. God does not define us based on our mistakes. God defines you on the possibility and the potential that he put in our life. Tell yourself, the Lord does not call me what I was. The Lord looks at me and defines me as what I shall be. I'm more than the mistake I made. I'm more than the sin I committed. I'm more than the fault that I failed. But I have a God who looks at me, help me somebody, and calls me more than that. Daniel says, tell Peter, watch this. Tell Peter to go and meet Jesus in Galilee, which Jesus said he was going to be. You have to remember in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told them, after I have arisen from the dead, I will meet you in Galilee. So here it is. Tell Peter to go to Galilee because Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. Did y'all just hear me?
Yes, sir.
He promised to meet you in Galilee. And even though you have fallen, he, Jesus, is still faithful. Even though we don't do what God asks us to do, Jesus is still faithful. I've not been what I should have been. I didn't do what I should have done. I didn't live how I should have lived. We have a God who does not change and says, no matter what you have done, I'm still going to perform what I have promised in your life. Let me tell you why this is so important. When you make a major mistake, your mistake in life, you tend to disqualify yourself from God's goodness. And therefore, you begin to think there's no reason to try because it is not going to do it for you. He's not going to do it for you any longer. Because the Lord knows the mistake you have made. I stopped by this morning, y'all, to tell you that the devil is a lie. That God is so faithful that even when you have fallen down, God is going to do what he said he was going to do. That's the kind of God we serve. Can I push this thing a little bit? God says, tell Peter, wherever he is in his mistake, stop hanging out there. And go to the place where he will see the promise that Jesus said. I need you to get out of the mistake of yesterday. That's right. God got you sitting up being quiet. Get out of your mistake of yesterday. And start walking down to the place where you just believe God is still going to do what God said he was going to do. He's still going to disarm every weapon that is formed against you. He's still going to take your midnight morning and turn it into joy. God is still going to turn meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. God is still going to work all things together for our good. God is still going to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death because God is faithful. I'm a living witness that God is faithful. I've fallen. I've made mistakes. But God is still going to perform what he has promised. My calling has not been canceled. And finally, when you have made a mistake, I want you to trust. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
When you have made a big mistake, I want you to trust and believe that all of your faults can be forgiven. Don't let the enemy fool you into thinking, because you have done it over and over again, that God will not forgive you. Because when you start believing, you will not go to God and confess it. When you start believing that God can fix it for you, you will not go to God and fix it and request forgiveness. Here's how the devil works on your mind. Here's how he works on your mind. There's no need in telling God. You're not going to do it again. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know who you is. And as a result, you don't have to go to God. Here's what Jesus said. Tell Peter, I know what he did. Oh, my goodness. But I want him to come to me. I know how often he has done it. I still want him to come to me. I know you're not perfect. I want you to come to me. Watch this change of God. This is so good and so deep. Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22, I know what you are going to do before you do it. When I called you, I knew you were going to fail. Uh-oh. Oh, I know. But I want you to come to me. I want you to confess and know whatever you have done can be forgiven. How does the Lord forgive it? Peter failed him on Friday. This message was on Sunday. In case you've forgotten what happened between Friday and Sunday. Don't make me go Baptist on you. He died. Didn't he die?
Yes, sir.
I know he died.
Yes, sir.
But something early will happen on early Sunday morning. He rose from the dead, y'all. And because he rose, all sins can be forgiven. I'm not done yet. Don't make me preach real hard, because I got to get out of here. You are trying to make me preach like a Baptist preacher. Don't let the devil make you think that anything you have done cannot be forgiven. It was all taken care of on the cross, y'all. When I graduated from high school, I went into the middle there. I thought I was grown. They sent me some credit cards. I made a mistake because I got an American Express card. Can I get a witness here? I learned a very valuable lesson. The difference between an American Express card and a Visa. I learned that, brothers and sisters, Visa, there's a limit on how much it covers. And you have to pay it off over time. American Express has no limit. But they want full payment. Every month. Get this. Visa has a limit and it takes some time. American Express will cover everything. said, I can handle but so much. And it will take me some time to get rid of it. American Express says, no matter what the cost, I got it covered. And I pay for it all at once. Well, can I get a witness over here? Let me tell you about the cross, and I'm up out of here. It is no Visa theology here, but it's an American Express theology with God. That no matter what my sin, no matter what my fault, no matter what my failures, no matter what mistakes Clark has made, it's covered and paid for. All at once. Somebody here is shouting good news right now, because in the midst of our circumstance and situation, we think that God's going to punish us for the things we've done. No, the righteous, them who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Just because we got a pestilence and a virus going on right now, don't mean that because you weren't good before it happened, God won't still take you. God said that I will hide you up under my wings. He said that to them in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. At once, somebody is shouting, good news, Jesus paid it all. Yes, he did. He paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain on me, y'all. But Jesus has washed it white in the snow. He paid it all, no matter what your mistake is, no matter what you have done, no matter what you're going through. God is ready. God said, I know what your big mistake is. I know you can make a mistake before you did it. But it's all good. It's all good. Let me offer this opportunity to you at this time to give your life to Christ. Maybe someone on the sound of my voice doesn't know the Lord is their personal Savior. I'm saying to you that unto him who is in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how low you think you've fallen. Jesus said, I got you. I said, I got you. He said, when you leave this life, when and if you ever leave this life, you will have to make your home somewhere in heaven. So you can accept the Lord as your personal Savior. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When you hear God knocking at your heart, you say, is he knocking at my heart? Yes, he is. Right now, you've just heard the word of God coming to your home, coming to your life. He's saying to you, if you don't know me, you need to get to know me. He said, you don't have to be in the church. You don't need no pastor. All you do is say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. To them who are believing in Christ Jesus, they become the sons and daughters of God. They become heir to the promises of God. God said, I take your sins and throw them as far as the east is to the west. And I'll throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. You can do that right now. If you know the Lord and you feel you have not been doing what God has called you to do, I'm here to let you know that God said that I'm married to the backslider. He said, you forgot about me, but I did not forget about you. He said, yes. This is not coincidence. Nothing having with coincidence with God's people. He said, I got you. I've never took you out of my hand. He said, I've been watching over you all the time. He said, just rededicate your life to me. And all things be good. He said, I'll wipe out whatever mistake you have made. At this time right now, I'm going to say a prayer for you. Stay placed and say the short prayer. Cover everything, your life, your home, and everything you got to go through in these coming days. Here we go. Well, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all things great and all things small. Thank you for life, help us. Father God, bless your people right now. As the word has gone into their homes, well, Father God, into their if, you ask that you bless them and keep them, creating them a clean heart, renewing them the right spirit. For those that accept you, Father God, put a hedge of protection around your people. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father God. Protect them from the wiles of the devil. Give them peace that surpasses all understanding. Let this word sit on their heart, oh Father God. For God, bless them. Heal their bodies. If there's any sickness that they are conquering, Father, they don't even know they have. Father, you said you are Balm and Gilead. You said, by your stripes we are healed. We ask you to bless them and heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for these things right now and this word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are listening, I want to let you know that we're trying to continue on in the word of God. Even though we are under social distancing, we're just trying to continue to be faithful in the word of God, because God's still in control. We're not going to disobey what our leaders tell us to do, but we can still be in the Lord and try to do what God has called us to do. So, if you ever have the opportunity, my phone number is posted on the website, and if those are listening by phone, my phone number is 954-612-0141. If you need to have a prayer request, call, leave a message. that prayer request, if I pick up, I'll pray with you. You can pray. We'll pray together and let God do the rest. If you want to support the ministry, the church is at mailing address at New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, P.O. Box 3724, West Park, Florida, 33083. It is there. It's posted on the website, on the church website. It's posted on Facebook, on my Facebook page. If you ever want to, but most of all, if you need prayer, I want you to know that we're there for you and we're praying for you. May God bless you and keep you. This is my prayer. God bless you.